Let's stand to our feet. And so we're going to be in Ephesians 5, start with verse 8. And by grace and faith, we'll get down to verse 17. Yes, it accomplished in the first service, so it is doable. And so believe with me here. And so we're going to start with verse 8. And so we're in the New King James, so read along with me. Set the pace. So let's read. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray over our spiritual meal. Father, we thank you for the word of God that is filled with the spiritual nutrients that we need. And we're going to trust you by opening our heart that you would minister to us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we call upon you as the spiritual teacher to anoint the eyes, ears, and heart of each person that's listening. We thank you that you're opening them by the gift of your grace and causing people to see, hear, and understand what's being said. So, Father, I thank you. These are your children. And, Lord, I thank you that you live in them and you are able to speak this message to them in such a way they walk away with what they need and they've heard your voice. Only you can do this miracle. I believe it's happening right now in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. High five someone on the way down. All right, let's unpack our meal. Verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Paul says, for you were once. Say once. Once darkness. That basically said, yeah, one time you were darkness. And so this brings out the fact that you once were an unbeliever. Raise your hand if you used to be a heathen. Raise your other hand if you were a really good heathen. It's like, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to do it all the way. And so, and I was a heathen, but now I'm doing it all the way. I'm on fire for Jesus. It says, you were once darkness, but now light in the Lord. So notice an unbeliever is identified with darkness. It didn't say an unbeliever's in darkness. It says the unbeliever is darkness. Is darkness. So an unbeliever is identified with darkness, and an unbeliever is identified with light. Because it says you are now. Say now. Now. And this is what you're now. You are light in the Lord. Not that you're in the light. You are light. You are light. If you could see your, if we could all see your born again spirit, it'd be lit up like a light bulb. People say, well, what color will I be in heaven? Light. You'll be glowing. And so you're a new creation. So let's get off of what's our flesh. Let's get into who we are in our spirit. And it says, you were once identified as darkness. As an unbeliever, we chased after sin. Right? Raise your hand if, as an unbeliever, you chased after sin. And you caught it. But now as a believer, sin chases after us. It's not going to catch us. And so since an unbeliever is darkness, lives in the dark, they're blind to the realities of God and his truth. But now, say now again. Now as believers, you are light in the Lord. Why is an unbeliever light? Because Jesus is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. God the Father is light, and in him no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. And so Jesus being in Christ means he shares the position that he holds. He shares his likeness and nature with you. And so he's light. So guess what? You are in the Lord. You're light. And so he shares it with you. So being light, you have the ability now to know God and see the truth. And so notice in the Word of God, you're either darkness or you're light. Nowhere in the Bible does the Word of God mention in the Word gray people. You're a gray person. No, you're either light in the Lord or darkness in the Lord. You're saved, you're not saved, and so you're either one or the other. And so it says you are light in the Lord. In the Lord, again, we don't have anything that comes inherently of ourselves in Christ. It comes from Jesus. He shares it with us being in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about the moon. The moon shines at night when it's out, but it has no light inherently of itself. Now, that was news for somebody. The light doesn't shine of its own self. It where does it get its light? From the sun. It reflects the light. It shines, but it's reflecting the light of another source. And so as a Christian and as the church, we radiate the light of another, Jesus Christ. And as a believer, you radiate Christ within you. And so I want you to see there is a difference between bats and eagles. There's a difference between bats and eagles. And so what's the main difference between bats and eagles? They both fly. But bats only fly at night. They like the darkness. They fly at night. But something about eagles, eagles only fly in the daylight. Matter of fact, eagles, unless they're forced to do so, will not fly even on a cloudy day, on an overcast day. They'll fly when the sunlight's out. And so tell someone you're an eagle, not a bat. You're not Batman. You're Eagle Man. I can't wait for the next movie coming out, Eagle Man. I'm going to play Eagle Man. It says, walk as children of light. We were told last week that we're God's beloved children. Well, how do you walk in love? Receive his love. Now we're called children of light. And so how are we going to walk in the light? Receive the light of your Father. And so how do we receive God's light on a daily basis? Look at Psalms 119:107. Psalms 119:107 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light, say light, unto my path. And so his word is the source of light that we will bask in, fill ourselves with, and reflect. As the moon does the sun. And so again, last week we saw that we were God's beloved children. Here we're called children of light because he's the Father of lights. And in him is no darkness at all. And so I want to tell you about a story of a man. He returned from a journey and he brought his wife a matchbox that would glow in the dark. And after giving it to her, she turned out the light, but the matchbox could not be seen in the dark. So both thought they had been cheated. But then once they turned the light on, the wife noticed some small French words on the box and went and asked a friend to translate them. And the inscription said this, if you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light. If you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light. You ever had something that was solar charged? What must you do to keep that for it to shine at night? You need to keep it in the sunlight. And then it's able to shine. As a Christian, we need to stay in the light, which is stay in the Word of God, so that we shine brightly at night. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit. Most modern, or the oldest Greek manuscripts actually say the fruit of the light. Fruit instead of fruit of the Spirit. And that would bring in the context of darkness and light that we've been talking about. But either way, it's the same thing. Do you know the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of light? The Holy Spirit's God and God is light. And so those two are synonymous. And it says the fruit of the Spirit or fruit of the light is in all goodness. Say goodness. There's two different Greek words for good in the New Testament. One is human good, or it looks good on the surface. And then there's a goodness of the divine good, intrinsically good. This is the divine good. It says that the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of light, is in all goodness, divine goodness. Matter of fact, this Greek word is never used in the secular Greek. It's a Bible word coined in the Bible because in the basic dark heathen world of the day, there was no divine good. And so this was something used in the Bible. And so all of God's fruit is good in his nature. Now, I'm going to help you with theology. You came to church for theology. Let me help you with some solid, good. Anybody want some good theology? Okay, here's some good theology. God is good and all the time. And the devil's bad all the time, and they never switch places. If you're experiencing bad, who did it come from? Or from yourself? And if it's good, where did it come from? God. Well, he sent me bad so it could turn good.
No.
God never changes it around. The devil's not his errand boy. And so the fruit of the lighter spirit is derived from the vertical. Where do you get the fruit of light and the fruit of the spirit? It's your vertical relationship with God. But fruit is always directed horizontal. What's fruit for? Someone to eat. Is it for you to eat? Do you eat your own fruit? Tell someone, don't be a cannibal. Fruit is for other people to partake of. And so what you get vertically from God is always to go horizontal. And so the fruit of the light or the fruit of the spirit is the fruit of goodness and righteousness. And right, where did we get righteousness? From our vertical relationship, our faith in the Lord Jesus. And so, but the fruit of righteousness goes horizontal to where we deal with other people in a right way. So what's righteousness horizontally? It's having right dealings with people. If you're in business, that means you have right dealings in your business. That means when you advertise something, you deliver. How often have you found that advertising did not match with your experience when you had the product? Always have to check reviews. Because they just point out, say, if you take this product, you will not be a loser anymore. But after you take it, you're still a loser. No. And so I think a lot of people that make products, they do not use the products they make. They don't try it out themselves. But you are to be faithful to carry out what you promise and what you say when you do business. How many businesses say, I'll be there a certain time, and they don't show up? Or they're late? Or they won't do what they're saying? Well, as Christians, we're to have right dealings with people. It says that the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Say truth. So all of God's fruit and the effects of that fruit are truth. That means the fruit of the Spirit we get vertically should go horizontally to where we're honest, completely honest with people around us. Have you ever met someone that had a business card with a fish on it? You might get hooked. You ever met a Christian with a bumper sticker, a Jesus bumper sticker? You ever got run off the road by a Jesus-wielding driver? Look at verse 10. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Look at the word proving. It's a Greek word which means put something to the test. Put something to the test in order to approve. So let's put that definition into it. Putting to the test what is acceptable to the Lord. And so there's some tests that we're to put every thought we have, every decision we need to make, every action that we want to do should pass three tests. The first test, what's the first test? Is the word test. Say the word test. The word is his will, and the will of God is his word. So if you want to make a decision, here's a novel thought. You need to ask God what he thinks. Oftentimes we are going off what we think, what we want, and oftentimes married couples, they get into what's called intense fellowship. And it's based on what they want, what they think, and the answer to it is, let's not care what you think or I think. Let's ask, what does God say about this? What does he think? Put it past the word test, and it'll be good. So there's a second test that we need to put any thought, any decision, any action to this test. It's the witness of the Holy Spirit test. See, the Holy Spirit's in your spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And so he will bear witness to the word. You'll never violate the word. But the Holy Spirit will bear witness to whether you're in the will of God or not. Have you ever decided, thinking about a certain thing, and we're going to go do that, and you just had peace about it in your spirit? Yeah, that means it's a green light. Just keep moving forward. But have you ever thought about saying something?
Yep.
doing something, and all of a sudden you had a check in your spirit. How much was it? No, I meant you had a check. You had this, I don't feel right about this. I don't feel right about saying this. Zippo, don't say it. Don't act. And don't. And so there's the bearing witness of the spirit test. And it says proving what's acceptable. The word acceptable means well-pleasing to God. And so the third test is the faith test. The faith test. So I have a question for you. How do you know you're pleasing to the Lord? Or what pleases the Lord? How do you know that? Boy, you guys are well taught. Go to Hebrews 11:6. You want, raise your hand if you want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Raise your other hand if you really want to be pleasing to the Lord. Okay, put your foot up. Okay. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's hard to please him. Clueless translation. Without faith, it's impossible to what? So put the opposite of that. With faith, you please God. You're well-pleasing to God. And so the third test, the word test, the witness of the Holy Spirit test, and then the faith test. And so what's the faith test? If what I'm about to do, the decision I'm about to make, is it going to lead me to trust the Lord more, or am I trusting myself more? If the action I'm about to take, is it leading me to trust him more? I'm having to trust him more to make that decision, or am I really trusting myself? And so, and that looks different to the person, each person. You can have the same decision on the outside, and God will have you do two separate things. For instance, you have somebody that is just an outgoing person, and they're active, and their motto is in doubt, speak. In doubt, do something. You're Peter. You like to kick doors open. You like to make things happen. And so the Lord wants you to move into ministry, but he says, I don't want you. I want you just to spend time with me and trust for me to open the doors. I don't want you introducing yourself, promoting yourself. Just zip it. And your flesh goes, no. Trust me. I can open the door. But then you have what's called an introvert. All introverts unite separately. And you don't like to get out, and you like to stay within yourself. And the Lord says, I want you to write that letter of introduction. I want you to meet that person and go and talk to that person. And your flesh goes, no. You say, trust me. Trust me. So really, it's not so much the thing, but is it leading you to trust him? Right. Testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Fellowship means partnership, a partaker, a close fellowship with someone or something. And so in the Greek, it actually says in the Greek, stop having fellowship. Stop having fellowship. It's happening. And Paul says, stop it. You should not have, because guess what? Fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Are you darkness? No. You're light. Amen. So why are you partnering and fellowshipping and having close, intimate friendships with someone that's darkness? Amen. I'm speaking to someone in this room that the Lord is telling you that you're having a relationship in your life that is not from the Lord. And it's actually hindering your walk. And so the Lord says, I want you to put them on the altar and move on. And I think sometimes we're afraid if we move on, we are like letting someone down or they need us. But you need to trust the Lord with that person, and you need to move on with the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Say unfruitful. Do you know that the flesh does not bear the fruit of the Spirit? And so we are to produce the fruit of the Spirit, and the flesh never produces fruit of the Spirit. But rather reprove them. So what does this mean? That one-on-one with individuals, the most effective way you reprove their darkness is not by your sermonizing, but by your lifestyle. The Bible says you're light in the Lord. The last time I checked, light is seen, it's not heard. Light is seen, it's not heard. And so your lifestyle of godliness is shining in a bright place if you'll let your light shine. The darker the room, the less light it takes to do some work. Do you notice the world's getting darker than ever before? And so, but we want to be lights, and we are light, but is there a bushel over our life called carnality? And so we need to take the bushel off, and sometimes we're afraid, and we're trying to fit in. Let me give you a clue. You don't fit in with the world. Well, I can fit in. No, you don't. Does light fit in with darkness? I'm going to come on in here and just fit in with this dark. And every time you try to fit in with darkness, darkness runs away from you. Come back. Sometimes when we have darkness, we want to fit in and we just kind of put a bushel over and we get comfortable in the darkness and it's easy to do that. But I'm going to talk about that kind of principle in the natural. Here in Colorado Springs, have you noticed it's cold in the winter? Do you notice there's lots of snow in the winter? Now you raise your hand if you're here from somewhere else in a warmer, from a warmer climate. And be honest with you, sometimes you're not overly excited and even challenged by it sometimes. Well, the Lord has a word for you. The word says, in whatever state you find yourself in, be content. So Colorado, you can learn to be content in Colorado. Draw upon the grace of God within you, you're able to do it. So here in Colorado Springs, where it's cold in the winter and lots of snow, our cars can get caked with salt and grime from the roads so that after a few weeks of regular snowstorms, they look pretty bad. But everyone else's car looks as bad as mine, so you don't think much about it. And so if you drove down to Phoenix, where it was warm and sunny and all the cars were clean, your clean car would, your dirty car would be exposed, and you would have a desire to go visit the car wash. I think sometimes we do that in our Christian life, is we just kind of fit around with the norms around us and we don't really notice until the light comes. And so we need to actually live a life to where we expose the things to change it. Because what happens was when people get exposed, there's two things. Either they repent and they turn to God, or they get angry and they oppose you. Well, Pastor, I hate that, so I'm just not going to put myself out there because I don't want you to oppose. Well, you're actually hindering the people that would be willing to repent and turn to God. Verse 12. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. It's shameful to speak of them, let alone practice them. And so, the secret. You know a thief likes to operate at night. You don't see a lot of thieves at noon going around the neighborhood. No, they like to do it at night because it's secret. Look at verse 13. But all things are exposed when are made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. And so if you will just simply take the basket off of your life, your light, you can't help it, you are light. Amen. You can't help it, you are light. Amen. If only you would take the basket of carnality off. Right. And so, but all things are exposed and made manifest. So we're called to let our light shine. Our godly life will shine in the light and expose and convict those in darkness. Today, the enemy is being successful in getting many Christians to turn off their light due to political correctness. It's just not politically correct to say that marriage between one woman and one man in covenant, that's not politically correct today. And so people will fight you on that. But if you will make that stance, now I'm not saying you have to go on national television like Andrew, But you can be in an office situation where everyone goes around, they're talking about it, and then they ask you, what do you think?
You don't want to know.
And then all of a sudden, you are put in a situation where you need to respond. Are you just going to be quiet?
No.
Are you going to speak?
Speak.
I'm going to say something about eagles. Often, eagles fly alone. Oftentimes, God is going to you're going to have to fly alone in a situation for your light to shine. And we want to be around a whole group of other people that agree with us, but eagles often fly alone. And so God's called you to be an eagle. Tell someone, get your wings going. Verse 14. Verse 14 says, therefore he says, the Lord says to Christians, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And so when we live a life in the flesh or carnal, we hide the life of Christ within us. We're still born again, but no one can see it. And a carnal Christian has a similar appearance to an unbeliever. An unbeliever is spiritually dead. A believer is spiritually alive. And God is saying, you need to wake up, Christian. Wake up. And it says, wake up, you who sleep. Look at Romans 13, 11. Romans 13, 11. Are you asleep? It says, and do this knowing the time that now, say now.
Now.
Now it's high time. It's not Miller time. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now, say now,
now.
Is our salvation nearer than we first believed. And how long ago did Paul write this? About 2,000 years ago. Is it any nearer?
Yes.
Yes, it's near. We might be on 11:59 if 12 is it. And so, well, Pastor, I'm not asleep. Well, hold on a second. I want you to think about this. If you're asleep, you do not know it. You need to have a wake-up call if you're asleep. Now, God is gracious to give us all wake-up calls. You ever had God give you a wake-up call?
Yeah.
And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit, am I sleeping? Have I slumbered off? Am I sleeping? Because you don't know it if you are. And the Holy Spirit says, Lord, and you need to say, Lord, if I'm asleep, give me a wake-up call. Give me a wake-up call. And He'll graciously do that. And I think you need to trust the Lord to do that. I think sometimes we trust in alarm clocks too much. The Lord gave us the ability to sleep, and He gave us the gift to sleep. But He's the one that causes us to wake up out of sleep. It's a gift of His grace. And you need to start trusting God to wake you up. There's times I said, Lord, I know I need to wake up at this certain time for the morning, and I trust You to do it. And I'll wake up a dead sleep, wake up at the exact time. But tell someone, hit someone with the elbow and say, wake up. Welcome back. Hello. It's good to see you. Amen. We can be lulled to sleep by getting used to the darkness around us. You ever say, you know what, I'm just going to turn up the light here and just kind of sit here and rest my eyes a little bit. And before long, slobber coming in here. I think Christians can get there. It says, arise from the dead. No, the Greek says, arise from among the dead. Rise from among the dead. You could have, in a room, you could have a bunch of dead people and one person in a deep sleep that's not snoring. You would have to go around and check really closely for signs of life. A lot of Christians look just like an unbeliever. They're spiritually alive, and you have to detect really closely to see if they're alive or not. Arise from among the dead, and what? Christ will give you light. So wake up and take back the curtains of carnality and let the light of God pour in and bask into your heart. And so what is that? It's returning to the Word. What's a carnal Christian? One who has walked away and has ignored the Word of God. The daily Word of God. There are carnal Christians today that they don't spend any time in the Word. And if they do, they maybe get a TV dinner here or there. They may watch Andrew or Joyce Myers or Creflo or somebody, some minister on TV, and that's all they get. No, but no, if you'll open the Word every morning, the Lord has light for you.
Amen.
The Lord has strategy for you. He has direction for you. He has something to say to you. He has daily manna. That he only has for you and in your personal relationship with him. That's not going to come through another minister, but he has something to say to you directly.
Amen.
And so awake those that sleep, and Christ wants to give you light. Look at verse 15. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means exactly, accurately. So do you ever get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and it's dark and you're not able to walk as accurately as if the light was on, and you step on things? Any parent stepped on a Lego? That's the thing closest to childbirth. Women give that to you, childbirth, number one, but stepping on a Lego in the middle of the night is a close second. Stubbing your toe because you can't walk. No, walk exactly, not as fools, but as wise. So how can we be wise in our Christian life? Look at 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 15. How do we become wise? It says, Paul writing to Timothy, says that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Raise your hand if you want to be wise. Well, if you want to be spiritually wise, then you have that opportunity to receive that word every day to become wise. And so look at verse 16. Are you having a good time yet?
Yes.
It's not getting any better here. Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Look at the word redeeming. It actually is a Greek term of a marketplace. The marketplace was called the agora. And every city had one in the center. And this Greek word's a verb, which means to go and buy something out of the marketplace. When you saw something, you took advantage right then and you bought it. You bought it. And so this word was used in the marketplace for buying something when you saw it. Have you ever saw something and thought, I better buy this now? But you think, oh, no, I can do it later. And then it's gone. You can't seem to find it. That happened to us in Europe. We were in Germany. And we were happening to go by and we saw what's called a Steif bear. Otherwise called a teddy bear. Do you know a teddy bear was named after Teddy Roosevelt? Teddy Roosevelt was in Germany and he saw a Steif bear and he loved it so much, he bought 200 of them and sent them as gifts back, and so they'd be called teddy bears. But there's a specific bear called a Steif bear, and we saw it, we think, oh, that was nice, and we probably have an opportunity to buy it again. We never saw it again, and so we're still going, man, I wish we would have bought it when we saw it. I'm going to get you one of those. What is this saying? This is you need to make the most of your time. Well, I have a question for you. What are some time wasters that have taken hold in your life? You don't have to answer. What are some time wasters that has grabbed? And they're not necessarily sin. That's the problem with a lot of that, is they take up too much of our time. And so this verse is saying, carpe diem, seize the day. Seize the day. Seize the time you have now. Because guess what? We're burning daylight. As Andrew says, this isn't a dress rehearsal. You have the time you have now, and it's going. And it says, redeeming the time. Look at the word time. It's kairos, which means season. There's different seasons, and there are different doors of opportunity in those seasons that will not be present in another season. Psalms 90, look at verse 12. Psalms 90, look at verse 12. I believe Moses wrote this psalm, and he says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may live wise and make wise decisions with the time that we have. Well, Pastor, I just wish I had more time in the day. You ever said that? Thought that? I wish I could just get more time at the end of the day, or more time at the end of the week, or more years at the end of my life, and I just had more time, I would get more done. But I have a question for you. If you could buy more time, and there's a way to do that, you could buy more time, would there be any difference in how you would spend it? If you could buy more time, would there be a difference in how you spent that extra time? Well, yeah, Pastor. Yeah, just give me more time and I would do this and I would do that. But hold on a second. If you're not doing it now, you won't do it then. You ever hear, when my ship comes in, my financial ship comes in, Andrew's going to get most of the ship. But he's not getting anything now. Now, if you got more money, you would spend it exactly how you're doing it in a greater scale. See, I stand here today talking to you with very tender toes, because the Lord has been stomping on my feet all week preparing this message. And now I have the opportunity to share in the pain. I know by the Spirit of God what your greatest temptation is. Oh, you told Jesus. No. Your greatest temptation is the same as the person next to you. It's called distraction. This generation of Christians today know more than any other generation in the history of mankind. But there's also something that we have more of in this generation than any other generation that's ever lifted: distraction. And our greatest temptation is to be distracted from the Word, His presence, our fellowship with Him. And we fall asleep and don't know it. It says, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. The door of opportunity can close. That there's some things the enemy can come in and in the natural do to shut a door. That you have the opportunity to do what you're doing, but then you lose the opportunity that you could have had, or made it harder to do it. And I'm saying, God's saying something today. I've set an open door of opportunity, a season for you to step through, and you're allowing time to go tick, 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 tick. Well, I'll get to that tick, 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 tick. And the Lord's saying, now's the time. Carpe diem. Carpe diem. Seize the moment. Walk through the door. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, Pastor, if I only knew what the will of the Lord is. I just don't know what His will is. Hold on a second. How do we know the will of God? The Word is His will. The general will of God is found in the Word. If you'll generally find the Word, you'll generally end up where you need to be. But where do we know the specific will of God? Fellowship with the Holy Spirit leads you specifically in the line between the lines of the general will of God. He's how it looks in your life. But it comes through fellowshipping with Him. Amen. And how many times redeeming the time, if you want to get practical on redeeming the time because the days are evil, it's our time with God. Amen. In the morning. It's our time with God at lunch. It's that time when the kids are gone to bed at night, and there's that time. But oftentimes things fill it with other stuff. No, seize the time. Take the opportunity. Because He wants to shine light on you. He wants to lead you. He has divine strategies for you. Bow your heads. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. That You love us and You correct us because You love us, Lord. And Lord, those that are asleep, I pray for a wake-up call. Because if we're asleep, we don't know it. And I'm asking for grace today that you would make it plain to us and wake us up. And then it's our decision to remove the curtains of carnality and let the light of the Word again shine in our heart. That we seize the time each day, redeem the time with you, that the enemy fills up with other stuff. But I'm specifically speaking to someone that the Lord has opened a door and he's been wooing your heart and saying, walk through this door. And you've been putting it off. Tick, 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 tick. And the Lord's saying, no, now's the time. Now. Don't waste any more time. Now's the time. Will you walk through it? Seize the day. Seize the season. And you say, I know that's my heart. I'm not looking around, but I want you to lift your hand and say, that's me, right before the Lord. I'm going to acknowledge it. Lord, I thank you that hands are raised right now all over this congregation. Lord, I thank you that they seize the moment. They're going to walk through that open door. Just take the first step. Well, I want to know the whole plan. No, it takes the first step. Then light goes to the next one. Take the first step. And some of you, what the Lord's saying today is you need to redeem back that time that you've given away in your personal walk with me, says the Lord. Because I have light for you. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I was praying right while we were worshiping and feel like in this season, this is right at the beginning of the Christmas season, and Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, he was a priest serving the temple, got kind of used to nothing going on, got really comfortable with no supernatural word from God, kind of the dry period between the two testaments. And then the angel of the Lord met with him, and he responded with unbelief. He got used to just being passive, just being going along. And I feel like God's using this part of the Christmas story to remind us, hey, maybe you've gone through a season in your life where it seems like nothing's happening. Maybe you feel kind of distant, but God's meeting with you and calling you right now. Don't respond in unbelief. Move forward and be obedient to his call, his words to you right now.
Hi. The Lord gave me a beautiful vision when I was in the back, and this is my first time at church, so thanks for letting me be here. But I wrote it down just so I'll remember. But the word that I heard sounds a little confusing at first, so please let me explain all the way through. The community doesn't understand what's going on in this church. And it's really fantastic here. But to them, it's a small church, maybe boring to those who don't know Jesus. And but what I saw, oh, cry was so fantastic. Behind the altar, the biggest light I've ever seen came. It was Jesus. He came through the church, took over the city, and broke the yoke of the city, which is already broken because you've already done the work. You've already done the legwork. And what I saw was like marching on. It's already been done. And you will take over this city. And the verse that he gave me was Isaiah 10:27. And it talks about breaking the yoke. So God bless you.
I believe the Lord has a word for someone here, or maybe some more than one, that, as Pastor Rick sometimes said, I said, sometimes you're opportunity is in a season and then it goes by and you missed it. And you may feel like that you're done because of it, but that isn't so. What you just need to do is recognize that if you miss a flight, it doesn't mean there aren't more flights where you're going. It may just take you a little longer to get there. Or you may have to find another way to make the journey, but you just go back to the Lord and you trust him, and he's the ultimate redeemer. We need to redeem time by what we do, but God's the ultimate redeemer, and he'll redeem that for you.